The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 18, text number 73, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on July 25th, 2010, in Vancouver, Canada.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 18, text number 73. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Nashta moha smritir labdha. Nashta moha smritir labdha. Tvat prasadam mayachyuta. Titosmi gatta sandeha karishye vachanam tava nashta moha smritir labdha tvat prasadan mayachyuta titosmi gatta sandeha Karishye vachanam tava. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Arjuna said, "My dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I've regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and am prepared to act according to your instructions." Purport. The constitutional position of a living entity, represented by Arjuna, is that he has to act according to the order of the Supreme Lord. He is meant for self-discipline. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the actual position of a living entity is that of eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. Forgetting this principle, the living entity becomes conditioned by material nature. But in serving the Supreme Lord, he becomes the liberated servant of God. The living entity's constitutional position is to be a servitor. He has to serve either the illusory Maya or the Supreme Lord. If he serves the Supreme Lord, he is in his normal condition. But if he prefers to serve the illusory external energy, then certainly he will be in bondage. In illusion, the living entity is serving in this material world. He is bound by his lust and desires, yet he thinks himself as the master of the world. This is called illusion. When a person is liberated, his illusion is over, and he voluntarily surrenders unto the Supreme to act according to his desires. The last illusion, the last snare of Maya to trap the living entity, is the proposition that he is God. The living entity thinks that he is no longer a conditioned soul, but God. He is so unintelligent that he does not think that if he were God, then how could he be in doubt? That he does not consider. So that is the last snare of illusion. Actually, to become free from the illusory energy is to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to agree to act according to His order. The word moha is very important in this verse. Moha refers to that which is opposed to knowledge. Actually, real knowledge is the understanding that every living entity is eternally a servitor of the Lord. But instead of thinking oneself in that position, the living entity thinks that he is not a servant, that he is the master of this material world. For he wants to lord it over the material nature. That is called his illusion. This illusion can be overcome by the mercy of the Lord or by the mercy of a pure devotee. When that illusion is over, one agrees to act in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is acting according to Krishna's order. A conditioned soul, illusioned by the external energy of the Lord, does not know that the Supreme Lord is the Master, who is full of knowledge and who is the proprietor of everything. Whatever he desires, he can bestow upon his devotees. He is the friend of everyone, and he is especially inclined to his devotee. He is the controller of this material nature and of all living entities. He is also the controller of inexhaustible time, and he is full of all opulences and all potencies. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can even give himself to the devotee. One who does not know him is under the spell of illusion. He does not become a devotee, but a servant of Maya. Arjuna, however, after hearing Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, became free from all illusion. He could understand that Krishna was not only his friend, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he understood Krishna factually. So, to study Bhagavad Gita is to understand Krishna factually. When a person is in full knowledge, he naturally surrenders to Krishna. When Arjuna understood that it was Krishna's plan to reduce the unnecessary increase of population, he agreed to fight according to Krishna's desire. He again took up his weapons, his arrows and bow, to fight under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Sadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva. Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha. This is wonderful. This is simply wonderful. Arjuna came to his senses. Arjuna is now ecstatic. He's totally blissed out. Because he's understood that he is not meant to act independently. You see, that is our diseased condition. We're thinking to act independently from the Lord. We are thinking to become independent enjoyers. You see, that is the problem. That's why we're in distress sometimes. In distress. Because we are acting in a way which is not according to our actual nature. Have you ever walked along the beach and see a fish that was somehow washed ashore and it was flapping in agony in the sand? That is our position. We're in an unnatural condition right now. We tried to become independent of God. It just doesn't work. It really doesn't work. For millions of lifetimes we've been trying to be happy, independent of the Lord's service, and we've never been able to do it. We've never succeeded. We tried this way, we tried that way. The Vishnu Purana describes there are 8,400,000 different species. Jalajanavalakshani, Stavaralakshavingshati, Krimiyo Rudya Sankhyaka Pakshinam Dushalakshanam Trinshalakshani Pashavahat Chaturdakshani Manashaha. There are 900,000 aquatics, 2,000,000 types of trees and plants, 1,100,000 types of worms and reptiles, 1,000,000 types of birds, 3,000,000 types of beasts, and 400,000 types of human beings. So we've tried through all of these millions of forms to try to be happy independently of God. And we were a failure every time. And we were so stubborn, we thought, well, let me try again. And it didn't, you see. Let me try in a different way to enjoy being independent of God. Utter failures we have been. So now we are very fortunate to hear the teachings of Krishna, our Supreme Father, the original source of all existence. How fortunate we are, just as Arjuna was fortunate. We are most fortunate to hear these words of Krishna. Most fortunate. Especially that we are hearing them explained by the pure devotee, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. We are most fortunate. So we can come out of this stupor, out of this madness, out of this illusion that we can enjoy separately from God. So we should take these words to heart, not simply in one ear and out the other ear. We should take these words to heart. This is Arjuna took the words to heart. If we will take these words to heart, then we will become liberated. Immediately liberated souls. Free of all anxieties, all distress, all confusion, all delusion, all madness. Immediately become liberated, just as Arjuna became. Within 45 minutes, Arjuna became liberated. So our lecture today is 45 minutes. So let us try to have the quality, the hearing quality of Arjuna as we are hearing. See, I'm speaking, but I'm also, just like you're hearing, I'm also hearing. We are all hearing this message. Actually, it is not my message. I'm just the FedEx man. I'm delivering the message, that's all. I'm the delivery boy. Prabhupada's dog. You see? He said, here, take this message and distribute it. So here I am, serving the order of my master. But if we can take that mood of Arjuna, if we can hear these teachings of Krishna in the mood of Arjuna, karpanya dosho pahatta svabhava prishchaming vang dharma samudda cheta yat shreyansa nishchitan bruhitan me shushashtehang shadimam kvam prapanam. If we can hear these teachings in the mood of Arjuna, we will become liberated. Immediately liberated within 45 minutes. Liberated soul. What is the translation? Karpanya dosho pahatva svabhava. Now I am overcome by miserly weakness. So I am asking you clearly, my dear Lord Krishna, to tell me what is best for me. You kindly enlighten me. Now I am your soul and surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. You see, this is the mood. If we have that mood of approaching Krishna or Krishna's representative, the devotee of the Lord, and begging, please enlighten me. Please enlighten me with this knowledge, you see. If we approach the Lord or His devotee in this mood, begging for spiritual enlightenment with all the sincerity of our heart, if we beg for spiritual enlightenment, then Krishna will act in that directly or through the mouth of His devotee. He will act to liberate us from our illusion, our confusion, the bewilderment of material existence. There's no reason for us to suffer here any longer. We are not of this world. We belong to another world. That transcendental world. That kingdom of God. That is our actual home. Somehow we wandered away. We got sidetracked somewhere down the line. And here we are in the rotation of birth and death. Looking for happiness in a place where there is no happiness. It's futile to try to find happiness in this material world. You will never find it. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravarti narjuna mammu pechila kamteyu punar janmana vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode never takes birth again. Bhagavad Gita chapter 8, text number 16. So if we take these words of Krishna and we accept them as the truth, and we don't waste our time trying to play around in misery any longer here in the cycle of birth and death, and we hear from Krishna directly or through the mouth of His devotee, if we hear these words and take them into our heart, then there will be a transformation of consciousness. We will snap out of the illusion. And realize, Jivara Sarupahai Krishna Anichita. So I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. I have nothing to do with this material body, except to use it in Krishna's service. You see, we do not say this world is bad, like the Mayavadis say. No. They say, Brahma Satya Jagam Mithya. Spirit is truth, and this material world is false. We don't say. How it can be false? It is also God's creation. You see? It is also God's creation. How we can say it is false? So, if we can use this wonderful creation of the Lord to serve the Lord, you see, then this material nature will regain its original spiritual nature. Ultimately, everything is spiritual. Because, why? It is all coming from God. Therefore, ultimately, everything is spiritual. So one simply has to know what is the art, how to utilize it in a spiritual way. When we utilize it in a spiritual way, then it regains its original spiritual nature. This is compared to an electrician. He can take the same electrical energy. He can use it either to heat your room or to cool your room. The heater or the air conditioner, both run by the power of electricity, the same electricity. So the devotee of the Lord, he knows the art of how to take the energy of the Lord and dovetail it with Krishna. The pure devotee can engage this entire world in Krishna's service. Entire world. We saw this in Srila Prabhupada, how expert he was in engaging everything in Krishna's service. Thousands of young Americans and Canadians, and eventually all over the world, he engaged in the service of Krishna. We saw how expert Srila Prabhupada was in doing this. And we pray that we can continue to serve in the way that he trained us to serve. And that we can attract millions and billions of people all over the world to also serve in the same way that Srila Prabhupada taught us to serve Lord Chaitanya's mission. That is our prayer. Because the whole world right now is suffering in the illusion of bodily consciousness. If they can somehow take to this path of Krishna bhakti, the whole world will be saved. All the problems will go away. Crime will be reduced to practically nil. Terrorism will be finished. You see? Everything will become like the kingdom of God here. If we can simply introduce this Krishna consciousness process throughout the entire planet. So, if we want to present it, then we have to become very fixed up in practicing it. We have to be ideal examples of Krishna consciousness. Each and every one of us should become the ideal examples of Krishna consciousness. So that by our, when we explain to someone about Krishna, they will not only hear the philosophy, they'll be able to see someone right in front of them who's a living example of the philosophy, you see. They will get the book Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavatam at one time, you see. That's how we should, our preachers should, our devotees should strive to become persons Bhagavatam who exemplify the Bhagavatam with their every thought, their every word, and their every deed in all times, places, and circumstances. And this is how this movement can very quickly capture the world. If we learn how to become ideal examples of Krishna consciousness, acharyas, in this way, very quickly, our movement can conquer the entire, not by rifles or hand grenades, but by culture. Cultural conquest, you see. People will see, why am I living in a low-class way, suffering so many anxieties? Why not live in a high-class way like the Hare Krishnas, you see? Live simply Simple living and high thinking. You see? Now it's just the opposite. High living and no thinking. You see? They call it high on the hog. That's what they call it, high on the hog. They're living like hog in their 20th floor penthouse apartment, living like a hog. They're no different than a hog in the pig pen, you see. What is he? They have their big penthouse apartment in a $5,000 a month penthouse apartment. What's the advantage of living like a hog? So if we can take the guidance from the great acharyas, those saintly teachers who guided the Vedic civilization for thousands and millions of years, if we can take our guidance from these great teachers, Mahajano Yena Gatasapanta, you see, then our lives will become perfect. In any place, in any situation, Canada, the US, India, Malaysia, Australia, any country, any situation, in any position of a society, if one can take these principles of Krishna consciousness, his life will become perfect. No more problems. You don't have to change your position. Whatever position you're in now, you stay in that position. Prabhupada told us in Atlanta, he said, if you're a lawyer, you remain lawyer. If you're this, that, you remain this, that. If he said you're a fool, remain fool. In other words, it's good if you can recognize, yes, I'm a fool. Don't act like a fool. But if one can realize, yes, I'm a fool because I thought that I was this body and I dedicated my life to serving these senses, yes, I'm a fool, you see. If we can admit, as Arjuna did, that we are fools, for having foolishly dedicated our entire lives to serving this body and the bodies of those who are related with this body, you see. That's the first step in self-realization. Admit, yes, I'm a fool. Sometimes the spiritual master will chastise his disciples, you are a fool, you see. Is he being cruel by calling them fools? No. That is his kindness. Lord Chaitanya, the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya, Ishvara Puri, he called Lord Chaitanya a fool. So if Lord Chaitanya can be labeled as a fool, what is our position? Try to understand, Lord Chaitanya was labeled as a fool by his spiritual master. He said, you are so foolish you cannot understand Vedanta. Just chant Hare Krishna. Sometimes we try to figure out the Vedic Siddhanta without being in the mood of bhakti. It doesn't work. Mundane logic doesn't work to understand transcendental knowledge. You can't, just like it's stated, and that we are eternally liberated. There's two categories, eternally liberated and eternally conditioned. It doesn't make sense from the standpoint of mundane logic. It doesn't make sense. But by chanting, if one dives deeply into Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then one will get all transcendental realization of the Vedic Siddhanta, the Vaishnava Siddhanta, all knowledge, all realization, it will become crystal clear. Those things which are inconceivable by mundane logic become very clear and very simple to a person who has taken complete shelter of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. In other words, there is jnana, which is theoretical knowledge. And there is vijnana. That's when you actually put the knowledge fully into practice, then you get transcendental realization. Then the curtain of the material energy is drawn back and you actually see the spiritual existence in front of you. therefore, this practice is very much required. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada gave me many wonderful personal instructions. One time from Paris, he was in Paris and he wrote me a letter. He explained to me that if you simply study this practice, study this philosophy, and you don't practice it after some time, it will become dry and useless. In other words, even these philosophical concepts, if they are not put into practice, they become very boring after a while. But if you actually apply it, you see, then it becomes the most exciting, exhilarating adventure of ever-increasing happiness for all of eternity. So, just like sometimes in the university they talk, there is science and there is applied science. Isn't it? Yeah. So this is science and applied science. If you don't apply this science, you will never understand this science. It can only be realized, it can only be properly understood by those persons who apply it. Therefore, how do you apply it? Joining the kirtan. Chant Hare Krishna, dance in ecstasy, take prasad, and immediately you get some vision, some realization of what Krishna is talking about here in the Bhagavad Gita. Serve the Vaishnavas, serve spiritual master. In this way, engage in practical activities and the realization will come. It's not academic knowledge. This is realized knowledge. This is why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tanvadi pranipatena paripashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. This service is very important to them. Prabhupada said, don't take the knowledge gratis. That you just take it and you don't give anything back, you see. Then you don't get the there's knowledge and there's realization. Knowledge plus service equals realization. Knowledge minus service becomes dry and useless after a while. You get tired of it. So when you take the knowledge, then you do the service. Offer to clean up after the feast. Do some service. Give some money. Render some service, you see. Some way, find a way that you can be of service. Sweep the floor. Pick up some garbage and throw it in the garbage can in the temple grounds. Do some kind of service, you see, for Krishna. And by that service, the knowledge which is sitting in your heart will become transformed into transcendental realization. And when you become mature in that transcendental realization, completely fixed in transcendental realization, then you will, and Krishna will reveal himself to you. You will see Krishna face to face, eye to eye. You will experience God directly at every moment, wherever you turn. You will feel His loving mercy in every situation. You will never feel you're being defeated ever again. Everything that you experience, you will see as a loving mercy of the Lord to help you become ever more victorious over the cycle of birth and death. Your life will become transformed into simply a celebration of the mercy of Krishna at every minute. What are you doing today, Prabhu? I'm celebrating the mercy of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Is it? That person who has actually realized Krishna, he celebrates the mercy of Krishna with every minute. At every minute he's celebrating the greatest festival within his heart. Is it? So, in this way, try to understand what is this process of Krishna consciousness. Try to understand this process. And then please, please, please try to apply it. Please do that. Try to apply this. I guarantee you, if you make the sincere endeavor, you'll become the most fortunate person in the whole world. The most fortunate person. So now I can ask if there's any questions. My name, Baba.
Maharaj, for the 40 years, I came into Krishna consciousness at the age of 40. But I always wonder why this particular thing I did not get at a very early age. Can you explain that, Maharaj?
Your question is why you didn't take it at an early age?
Yeah, that's right. Always I feel such a wonderful thing. It's such a sublime, simple, but how come?
You weren't ready for it. You were still, because you were still in the illusion that you could enjoy this material world. That's why.
Why I was that one, I always wonder.
Why
I was.
Why were you in illusion? Well, you hadn't suffered enough in the material world to make you frustrated with it. Sometimes this material suffering is actually a blessing. Is it? Finally, we get kicked enough, you know, we realize this material world is not the place for me, you see. So actually we should, whatever suffering we're undergoing here, we should say, thank you, Krishna. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're so kind to give me this suffering. So I can realize there is no enjoyment really in this place. Let me get out of this nasty, nasty place. But we're an illusion, think we can actually enjoy. You know the pastime of Indra. He was cursed to become a hog. And he was absent from his position as the king of heaven. The king was absent. He was a hog in some pig pen somewhere on the earth planet. So the demigods, Brahmaji himself, came to rescue Indra. My Indra, what are you doing here as a hog? You're the king of heaven. Why are you staying here in this pig pen? This dirty, filthy pig pen. Come back to the king of heaven. Be the king of heaven again. He said, no, what are you talking about? I got my she-hogs here. I'm having a great time. What are you talking about? Leave me alone. Is it? But then when he saw the farmer was coming to slaughter him, he was coming with a knife to butcher him, he came to his senses. He said, let me get out of here. He went back and resumed his position as the king of heaven. So, we are still thinking we can enjoy. I have my she-hog, I got my hog food, I got my pig pen, you see. I'm enjoying, but actually, well, we can realize that death is coming at any minute. Then we'll come to our senses. This reminds me that question that Yamaraj asked of Yudhisthira. He said, what is the most wonderful thing in this world? He asked Yudhisthira. Yudhisthira Maharaj, he's a great saintly king. He had great realization. So he answered very intelligently to Yamaraj. He said, Ahani ahani bhutani ganchantila himalayam sheshashtavaram ichchami kimmashcharyamatahaparam. He said, my dear Yamaraj, the most amazing thing is that in this world, even though countless numbers of living entities are being dragged to the court of Yamaraj, Yamalayam, you see. Ahani ahani bhutani. They're being dragged to the abode of Yamaraj. Still, I am thinking that I will live forever. There's nothing more amazing than this phenomenon, you see. So that is the problem, you see. Everyone around me is dying. My father has died, my mother has died, my sister has died, my grandparents, my childhood friends, everyone is dying, and they, well, not me. I'm not going to die. You see? But if one can come to his senses and realize his mortality, then he can think, well, what can I do to end this cycle of birth and death? So does that answer your question? So any other question? Yes.
You mentioned earlier that the importance of devotional service, you should do some
Mm-hmm.
So if we're chanting regularly and if we're still going to the temple regularly, why do we still need to perform the service?
Yes. What is the meaning? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My dear energy of the Lord and my dear Lord, please engage me in your service. You're begging to be engaged in service, and when service comes, you say, I chant Hare Krishna, I come to the temple, Hare Bo Prabhu. I was begging for service, and service came. I said, no, thank you. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Well, wait a minute. Krishna is hearing you begging for service. He said, just see this devotee here. He's begging for service. So he inspires the temple commander to go to engage you in service. And then Krishna is shocked. He was begging for service, and now Krishna sends someone to engage you in service, and you say, no, thank you. And Krishna's going, what kind of hypocrite is this, chanting my name, begging for service? When the service comes, he says, no, thank you. So Hare Krishna means we're begging for service. When service comes, our hand dances in ecstasy. Oh, Krishna has answered my prayer. I was begging for service, and now the opportunity has come to render service. Thank you, Krishna. Thank you. Thank you, Krishna. In this way, you see. That is how the mood of chanting Hare Krishna. Begging, actually sincerely begging for service, and being so happy when the opportunity comes for service. That is real chanting. Otherwise, it's just on the lip. Prabhupada explains you can train, and I've actually seen in Tabayuni in the Fiji Islands, I was preaching there one time, and the family, the farmers, they had one parrot. They trained him to go, Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. You see? But he's just thinking, to him it's, give me food, give me food, give me food. Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. You see? In London, Prabhupada told us, you can train a parrot to go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But Prabhupada said, when the cat catches by the neck, you'll go, ka, 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 no more Krishna. So, we shouldn't just chant on the lips, we should chant from the heart, begging Krishna, please Krishna, engage me in service. You see? Then our chanting, that chanting will capture God. But the chanting, what do you mean engaging me in service? I chant Hare Krishna. Hare Bhom. That doesn't capture Krishna. But that chanting of begging for service, that chanting attracts Krishna. Krishna does not award pure devotional service very easily. Do you know why he does not reward it easily? Because one who becomes a pure devotee, Krishna becomes his personal property. So Krishna is very stingy about giving out pure bhakti. He's very tight about giving pure devotional service. But if you will chant, begging for service, from the innermost depths of your heart, begging for service, Krishna will become obliged to give you himself. So you have your choice. You can be just a casual Hare Krishna chanter, come to the temple, go home, or you can chant with all your heart and become the completely pure devotee of the Lord. It's your choice, Prabhu. You have the choice to be a casual chanter or a serious chanter. Everyone is welcome to chant. We're all casual chanters in the beginning, you know. It's natural. We all start off as casual chanters. But gradually, as you hear from advanced devotees, as you read Prabhupada's books, as you get realizations, then you become more and more serious about your chanting, understanding this is the perfection of my existence, to vibrate these syllables. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, we have time for, I think, one more question. Yeah.
Obstacles along the way.
Why are there so many obstacles along the pathway? Actually, obstacles are illusion. Actually, for one who sees things according to the scriptures, there are no such things as obstacles. They're not obstacles, they're stepping stones. Obstacles means we're not seeing properly, we're in a state of illusion, we're thinking this is an obstacle. But actually, every single situation that is arranged for us by Krishna, and every situation we are in is actually arranged by Krishna. Every situation of every single living entity is arranged by Krishna. So one who has that vision, he sees there's no such thing as obstacle. Obstacle is the illusion of one who is not Krishna conscious, that's all. One who is Krishna conscious sees every single situation as a blessing. Even the so-called obstacles, Kunti Devi, who's one of the greatest devotees in history, Queen Kunti, she was praying, Vipada Shantutashvat Tatra Tatra Jagan Guru Bhavanam Darshanam Yachada Punarbhava Darshanam. My dear Krishna, please give me more and more obstacles. Please shower me with obstacles. Because when those obstacles come, I can do nothing but take shelter of you, and when I take shelter of you, then my liberation from birth and death is already achieved. So please give me more and more obstacles. She was begging for obstacles. You see? So in that mood, there's no such thing as obstacle. Everything is seen as a blessing. But if I don't have that vision, I will see so many obstacles day in and day out. I'll feel like I'm burdened with obstacles. You see? So one should hear from authoritative sources like Queen Kunti. And then apply that. Train your mind to see everything according to Queen Kunti's teachings. You see, and there'll be no more obstacles for you. Simply one blessing after another blessing after another blessing for all of eternity. Okay? All right. So we'll stop here. We thank you all very much for your participation in this wonderful Krishna consciousness movement. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.